Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
And now, here is Walter Bingham.
Hello and welcome to the program for April 2nd, 2024, which in the Hebrew calendar is the 23rd of Adar 2, 5784. On this day in 1840, Emil Zola, the novelist, was born. Even with his masterly visualization of the world, he could not have imagined the horrors of the centuries that awaited his great-grandchildren. Another famous person who was born 219 years ago today was Hans Christian Andersen, who wrote fairy tales. But more importantly, we just celebrated the birthday of my grandson, Alistair. Happy birthday. I am Walter Bingham, and I cannot get away from the current world politics, which is inextricably connected with anti-Semitism, and so I begin with that. There is something that has been puzzling me all my adult life. In every age throughout history, there has been anti-Semitism. We just read the Purim story that happened during the 4th century before the Common Era. During my lifetime, there have been several examples. Any honest historian will have to admit that whatever form of rule, whether ancient tyrants, empires, kingdoms, dictatorships, or terror regimes, have been destroyed or disappeared into oblivion if they have in any way attacked the Jewish people. That is an indisputable fact. So, why have they not learned? What is it that generates their self-destructive impulses? Is a short period of glory worth the inevitable end? It was Mark Twain who wrote this about our people 125 years ago. And I quote, "If the statistics are right, the Jews constitute but 0.25% of the human race. It suggests a nebulous puff of stardust in the blaze of the Milky Way. Properly, the Jew ought hardly to be heard of, but he is heard of, has always been heard of. He is as prominent on the planet as any other people, and his importance is extravagantly out of proportion to the smallness of his bulk. His contribution to the world's great names in literature, science, art, music, finance, medicine, and abstruse learning is also out of proportion to the weakness of his numbers. He has made a marvelous fight in this world, in all ages, and has done it with hands tied behind his back. He could be vain in himself, and be excused for it. The Egyptians, the Babylonians, and the Persians rose, filled the planet with sound and splendor, and faded to dream stuff and passed away. The Greeks and Romans followed and made a vast noise, and they were gone. Other people have sprung up and held their heads high for a time, but it burned out, and sit in twilight now, and have vanished," wrote Mark Twain. I have often suggested that if the countries of the Middle East would form an alliance, there would first of all be no more wars or animosity between us, and we could be a formidable force in world trade. With the Israeli technical knowledge, the Gulf states' financial resources, and the available labor in the area, such an affiliation could successfully compete with the European Union. Speaking about Europe, they have unfortunately learned nothing from history, but have become a hotbed of anti-Semitism. In England, that curse has infiltrated all facets of officialdom to the extent that it can be described as institutionalized. You may even become exposed to it from the moment you arrive as this story will show. "We are the bosses, not you," said the immigration officer at Manchester Airport to two young Israelis who asked why they are being detained and questioned. Daniel and Naraya Shabi, two survivors of the terrorist attack on the Nova Music Festival of October the 7th, arrived as guests of the local Jewish community to relate the story of their experiences.
"And one of the things that we do, share the story and let the people know. And this is exactly what we came to do here. And unfortunately, we face it against anti-Semitism that we saw when we arrived to the airport and we arrived to the border check. And we bring our passport, and you all asking us what we came to do in UK, and we was separate. I was with the guy, and Daniel was with the woman. And I say to them, we are here to share my story, my experience from October massacre on October 7th. And immediately, when he hear this kind of thing, he asked me, well, what is your religion? And I said to them, I'm a Jew. And from that moment, everything changed. Something changed in their faces. And from that moment, I feel not safe. And he started asking me so many questions and take me to the side, separate from everyone, sit us on some chairs and said to us, wait over here, don't move, don't do anything. And after this, the woman came to us and started asking us, where you serve in the army? And I start to get nervous because I don't realize what we do wrong. And this woman said to me, we don't like what you came to do here. We don't like you to come and tell your story. In the same words, she said, we don't like what you came to do here. And I don't get it right. So after almost an hour and a half that she interrogated us, I go to the policeman, and I ask them, what is the problem? You do for me problem because I'm a Jew, I don't get it. And then he said to me, I'm the boss, you don't decide what going to do, let us do our checking, this is what going to happen. And after that, they realize that they don't have anything to stop us. He just said to me something that I cannot forget, and he said to me, we just want to make sure that you are not going to do here what you do in Gaza. And from that moment, I just feel hurt, and I realize that I don't want to do anything. I don't want to make myself more trouble. So I just shut my mouth, and I tell to them, okay, just let me go. And we go in, and that's it. I'm not feel safe. I don't want to stay here if this is how they treat us. Today we are going back home, and probably I never will come back to England. I'm not feel safe here. Probably I'm not going to send here my friend to face with the same accident.
As this became a headline story and following a highly critical statement by Manchester Jewish community leaders, it has been brought to the attention of the Ministry of the Interior, the Home Office. One of its senior officials, Andrew Mitchell, said of the treatment of Israelis that it is outrageous and despicable. And Minister of the Interior and the Home Office Minister, James Cleverly, has ordered an investigation. Hopefully it will lead to a review of the policy and the dismissal of the two unsuitable Border Force officers. I've just been told that also in Manchester, at a hospital, a sick boy who was wearing a kippah, a head covering, and tzitzit, a religious garment, was told to lie on the floor because there was no room for him. He was connected to an intravenous drip. You can draw your own conclusions. In relatively recent times, it seems that anti-Semitism is the easiest hatred that can be induced into a society at will as the reason of a country's economic or political difficulties. The Jew is also often being accused as being a destructive influence on finance, culture, or clean lifestyle. Nazism used all of those and thought they succeeded. It started with the education of the young, who were taught to sing, "When Jewish blood spurts from the knife, then all goes much better." As you know, I'm old enough to bear witness to all that. Today, we only need to look at our most immediate neighbors, who have taken a leaf out of Hitler's book, Mein Kampf, but who have not read the sequel. Today, the IDF is teaching them that lesson. Israel's advice to its enemies: learn from history. Israel's firm policy towards the Hamas terrorists is beginning to weaken under international and particularly American pressure. I'm referring to our apparent quiet offer to exchange 700 imprisoned terrorists, including many murderers of Jews, for just 40 of our hostages. This is different from your repeated public statements and is unacceptable, Mr. Prime Minister. Any deal must be for all the hostages, those they have murdered while in captivity and those whom they are torturing to this day. However, our plan to eliminate every trace of Hamas in Gaza must be completed. Anything else would be surrender. Our President Isaac Herzog agrees, and I paraphrase what he said regarding the negotiations for the release of the hostages. "The reality is this," he said, "and the world and we must realize that everything begins and ends with Yahya Sinwar." He's the head of the Hamas snake in Gaza, and we are still looking for him. President Herzog continues, "He decided on the massacre of the 7th of October. It is he who since then seeks the blood of innocents, he who aims to heat up the regional sector, and he does everything to destroy Ramadan and the shared life in our community and in the entire region, to cause conflict among ourselves and, of course, in the whole world. His tool is terrorism. At this moment, we must be totally united. Israel is making every effort in many and varied ways to bring our abductees home. There is no other choice. The war must continue, and Sinwar must be found alive or dead, so that we can see our abductees at home. I strengthen the families of the hostages from here and tell them the State of Israel will do everything to bring them home," concluded the president. It is widely known that as a consequence of the American abstention from a Security Council resolution against Israel, when we expected a veto, Prime Minister Netanyahu cancelled a planned high-ranking delegation to Washington to discuss the forthcoming offensive into Rafah and the hostage situation as a signal to Hamas not to celebrate too early. Strong voices, including the Jerusalem Post, called it a diplomatic misstep. But there have been numerous meetings with so-called mediators in the Hamas-Israel war that achieved nothing. Nevertheless, Israel may be considering to reverse its decision and to send its representatives in the hope that Biden's deviation from his hitherto support for Israel may have been a political move to placate the extreme wing of his party rather than a significant change in his pro-Israel policy, now that there will be a presidential election. In a White House statement on Israel's negative reaction to the U.S. abstention from the vote for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza, they said, quote, "We decide what our policy is." Well, Mr. Biden, while we treasure our relationship, we who experience constant terrorism know best how to act in the interest of our security. Instead, the Prime Minister is sending a delegation of Mossad and Shin Bet to negotiate the release of the hostages. The Israeli public stands firmly behind our Prime Minister's resolve to eliminate every trace of Hamas in Gaza by whatever means necessary. It's interesting that among the Gaza population that is forced by the Hamas-initiated war to live in squalor, there is not the slightest movement of an organized opposition to Hamas. In a landmark decision last Thursday, in connection with a long-standing debate about drafting the ultra-Orthodox into military service, the High Court of Justice has issued a ruling that with effect from April 1st, all state funding for ultra-Orthodox yeshivot, Torah learning institutes, must be withheld. The Movement for Quality Government and all those who put their life on the line to protect our nation welcome the decision as a precedent-setting step towards equality for military service. In these difficult times, it's refreshing to hear some good news. The court's interim order may, however, have serious consequences for Netanyahu's government that relies on the support of the ultra-Orthodox political parties who have already voiced strong opposition to the order. And finally, another Jewish financial genius has let his success lead him to prison. Sam Bankman-Fried, who at just age 27 became the poster boy of cryptocurrency dealing that made him the 41st richest American worth $26 billion on paper, today at 32 is exchanging his $35 million penthouse in the Bahamas for 25 years in an American prison cell. I hope in a future program to investigate similarities in the psychological makeup of financial geniuses and for the reasons for their ultimate failure. I am Walter Bingham and wish all my listeners a good and safe week. To the families of the hostages, I say, be strong, don't despair, the government is doing its absolute best. Please also give a thought to the elderly, many of whom suffer from loneliness. Pay them a visit. Thank you.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.